This is the State of Things from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stachow. Donald Trump just authorized the release of the Nunes Memo, a document that allegedly shows FBI bias against the Trump administration as well as abuses by the FBI and the Justice Department. What happens to the Russia investigation now that that document is out? And the president delivered his first State of the Union address this week. He boasted of an economy and unemployment rates that are favorable and spoke about compromise and cooperation. Joining us to break it all down and do some fact-checking is the political junkie Ken Rudin. Hello, Ken.
Hello, Frank.
Let's start with the breaking news, the Nunes memo. Donald Trump approves its release despite the warning. Well, let's talk about the warnings. Why does the national security apparatus and law enforcement warn against releasing this memo?
Well, not only has the Justice Department weighed in, but so has the FBI, and they both say that releasing this would not only be reckless, and that's the quote from the Justice Department, but also it would endanger national security. And the fact is that the fact that that Devin Nunes, who was a Trump transition figure, who was removed from the investigation into the Russia investigation because of his fealty to President Trump, and the fact that he went to President Trump with information that he didn't share with the committee. But Nunes' staffers just say that it just shows there's a bias against President Trump, and that's why they're releasing this memo. Of course, the Democrats have a rebuttal memo that the committee will not allow to be released. So obviously, it just seems to me that this is far more about politics than anything else. But the intelligence agencies are just very concerned that it's going to reveal things for the sake of protecting President Trump and ignoring the threats to national security.
And as you say, Nunes removed from the investigation because of his improper behavior and favoritism for Donald Trump. But he's the one releasing it. And it's not all Democrats. There are Republicans who also, including Richard Burr of North Carolina, who have some reservations.
Oh, that's absolutely true. I mean, Richard Burr is the chairman of the Senate Intelligence Committee, and he has not seen the memo. He says this is reckless. I don't know if he used the word reckless, but he said at least let me see what this is before it's released. I don't want to read about it on the Internet. So there are people like Richard Burr and Lindsey Graham and John Thune from South Dakota, who's the number three Republican in the Senate, and they all say, let's not play politics with this. Let's see what's really here. But that is not going to deter, and obviously it didn't deter President Trump from authorizing its declassification a few minutes ago, and it's not going to deter Devin Nunes and the committee from releasing it.
All right, and as you say, law enforcement, the FBI, national security apparatus, all warning and seeing this as a political effort to save the Trump presidency and say that the compromise is reckless, as you say. But let's talk about what the president then, in the face of all of these warnings and the potential fallout and backlash, what does the president have to gain by releasing this memo?
Well, by releasing it, in his mind, or in his argument, and the Nunes argument as well, is that if it shows a bias against Trump by the FBI, and of course, the way this memo was written, it's so cherry-picking and so misleading, but that's another thing altogether. But if it shows bias against Trump by the FBI, that the FBI and the Justice Department convinced or hoodwinked a federal judge to allow wiretapping of Carter Page, the longtime Trump campaign official, who apparently has been under investigation from the FBI since 2013. So I don't think it takes much convincing to do that. But anyway, if you already question and doubt the integrity of the FBI, then therefore, by logical conclusion, you question and doubt the integrity of Robert Mueller's investigation. So one, it may allow President Trump to say, well, I'm not going to sit down with Robert Mueller because this whole thing is a witch hunt and it's biased from the beginning. But two, it just allows the Republicans the talking point that they've been using for some time, that this is not about collusion with Russians. It's about a biased Justice Department and a biased FBI trying to do damage to President Trump.
All right. Obviously, this is a report written by one party, the Republican Party. The American public knows that. They know Nunes' record and his partiality to the president. So, again, now the big question is politically, how is this playing to the American public, who has to read it through some kind kind of a filter. As you say, it's loaded with inaccuracies that will be fact-checked and obviously came from one party. But how does the American public read it, and especially that vast middle who tend to perhaps be swing votes?
Well, I don't know. It's just like everything else we've seen in politics, that the Trump supporters, even if it is 35% of the American people, is very strong and vocal and obviously expect to have a lot of sway in this year's midterm elections. But they will say that it just proves that, you know, that the FBI and the Justice Department needs to be cleaned out from top to bottom, if it means getting rid of people like Christopher Wray, who's the head of the FBI, who's appointed by Donald Trump. Even Donald Trump's own FBI director is totally against the release of this, and Trump appointed him. But regardless, the Democrats will say that this just shows once again that this is a cover-up here, and that they're more the Republicans are more interested in going after the people who are doing the investigations and not the people who may be responsible for the corruption of American democracy, which, i.e., the Russian influence in the 2016 election.
You mentioned Christopher Wray, the director of the FBI, appointed by Donald Trump. Lots of speculation about his future.
Well, you know, I've seen some reports that he could be so enraged that he will resign. My guess is that he doesn't resign, but you know, I always go back to people of conscience. You know, you think of Cyrus Vance, who was the Secretary of State under Jimmy Carter, who resigned because of that botched attempt to rescue the hostages with those helicopters in 1980. You think of Gerald Terhorst, who was Richard Nixon's press secretary in 1974. No, I'm sorry, Gerald Ford's press secretary, who resigned under protest because he didn't like the Ford pardon of Nixon. Every now and then there are, I don't know if you want to call them heroes, but there are people of conscience in administrations who decide to give up their career because of, just as a matter of conscience. I don't know if Christopher Wray has reached that point. Once upon a time, we thought John Kelly, the White House chief of staff, was going to resign out of conscience. Well, we know how that's working out. And I suspect that Wray is not going to go away anytime soon. But you have to know, you have to think that Trump is upset with Wray because Wray made his disapproval quite vocal.
Right. So again, that future is up in the air. Robert Mueller, his question in future is now in doubt. Senator Lindsey Graham, of course, Republican, been pushing to legally protect Mueller from getting fired. Where does all that stand, and how does all this affect that movement?
Well, you know, there was obviously bipartisan support for protection of Mueller, that they would pass something that Donald Trump didn't have the right to fire him. Well, of course he doesn't. I mean, he would have to go to the Deputy Attorney General, who's Rod Rosenstein, and he would have to do the firing, just like Nixon couldn't fire Archibald Cox. He had to get Robert Bork to do it because Elliot Richardson and others said no. But anyway, you know, you have to know that what Trump wants to do, ultimately wants to do, is just, he has such contempt for the Rosensteins. I'm sorry, I keep saying Rosenstein, Rod Rosenstein and Robert Mueller, but nothing seems to be deterring Mueller. The only thing that could happen is a possible firing. That's why Lindsey Graham and others want to protect him. But House Majority Leader Kevin McCarthy said the other day, well, I don't really see a reason for such legislation to protect Mueller. Of course, you know, if Mueller is ultimately fired, then it'll be too late. But if Kevin McCarthy said there's nothing like that on the horizon, then it looks like the Republicans are not going to let that come to a vote, even if you do have Republicans like Lindsey Graham, Susan Collins, and others calling for it.
All right. Well, amidst all this turmoil, something that has been long a part of the American Republic, the State of the Union address, Donald Trump gave his first. He boasted of a growing economy, low unemployment, took full credit for that. Let's take a look at his statements and what he was saying about the economy under Donald Trump. Ken?
Over the next few weeks.
What do you think, Ken? I didn't know
if you were playing a piece of tape. No. Well, here's the thing. Is the economy good? It is good. Is unemployment claims down? Yes. Is the Dow at stratospheric numbers? Absolutely. Is it Donald Trump's doing? Well, that's, of course, questionable. The economy was growing, at least in the latter part of the second term of the Obama administration. Trump was fortunate to be elected at a time when the economy was moving up. But to be fair, if the economy were doing poorly, we would criticize and we would blame Trump for it. And the fact that it's still doing well and continuing to do well, I think Trump should get credit for it. But when he comes up with certain numbers like, you know, black unemployment is now the lowest in history, or I have the largest tax cuts in history, that's the fact checkers worked overtime on Tuesday night and they came up with, I think, 70% of what the president said or claimed was clearly not true. But that's vintage Trump. He also said it was the highest watch. Of course he said this. He says it was the highest watch State of the Union message in history, and that wasn't true either. It's such a silly thing.
Did he say that? I didn't see it, so I missed that part, I guess.
You missed
I missed the address. Let me ask you this, though, Ken. One last question, and it's got to be brief. But, the question was, were we going to see the teleprompter Trump or the Twitter Trump? And everybody said, well, he looked a little more presidential in that address.
I'm sorry. I'm just grimacing right now. Whenever somebody says, well, he was presidential during that hour and 20-minute speech, and he was. He talked about bipartisanship and reaching across party lines and saying politics should be put aside. What about the previous 12 months? One-night speech reading in front of a teleprompter does not erase a year of insults and things like that. And right now I'm starting to grip the phone very tight and my blood vessels are popping out of my neck right now. Thank you.
I know you well enough. I can actually see the veins in your forehead.
Thank you, Frank.
And I'm sorry for that. Ken Rudin, the political junkie, thank you so much.
I blame you, Frank.
I'll take a nice deep breath and a nap. Okay. Just ahead, we're going to talk to a mathematician and a former judge about their research into redistricting and gerrymandering, all that on the State of Things from North Carolina Public Radio, a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. Please stay tuned.